Good morning.
Good morning.
Such a blessing to be with you all again this morning. And thank you all, brethren, for introducing my message this morning. Why are you here? I think Brother Leonard already asked us that question. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why? The reality is that if we are here, God has a purpose for it. And so we can rest in that, and that's a blessing. Now this morning, my title is Of Coffee, Borders, and Mosquitoes. And there's a story with that. Because it's something that happened to me, to us. It's also something that is at present ongoing. Let's pause for prayer. Father, this morning we thank you again. And we thank you that we are here. We thank you that there is a reason for us to be here this morning. And we thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to us, to bless us, to give us a vision for what you want to do in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not exactly sure what year it was, but it's been quite a few years ago. We traveled from Nicaragua to Belize for a minister's meeting. And down there we yearly have minister's meetings, all the different countries, Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, Belize, Guatemala, El Salvador, we all get together. And various different missions, various different denominations. And we all get together for ministers' meetings. And that year it was in Belize. And we had taken some coffee up for somebody in Belize. At that time, the Belizeans were still, they didn't really have coffee in the country. Some of the best coffee they tended to have was Folgers, and if you know what goes into Folgers, you understand what I'm talking about. But they had this thing with coffee that you just couldn't bring coffee into Belize. We didn't really realize it, and we took it for someone else. And here we got to the border, and they saw we had coffee, said, "No, you can't take it along. Can't take it into the country. You've got to have a special permit. You've got to, you know, do this like a month ahead of time, and you've got to have all the paperwork and all of that stuff if you want to bring coffee into Belize." So the big bag of coffee stayed right there at the border. On Friday morning was when we were leaving Belize. One of the brethren, Ben Stolzwood, you'd know him. He's been here, and he lived in the closest mission there. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I think we're not going to let that coffee go. We're going to go and see what we can do, how we can talk to the officials and see if we can rescue it. So he went and he paid a big fine and got the coffee and all of that stuff. But with that whole rigmarole, it put us behind quite a bit. And generally we would travel through the Patanga, Guatemala, into Honduras, and it was about 9 hours of driving. But this put us really, really behind the times. By the time we got through Guatemala and got down to the border between Guatemala and Honduras, got to the border crossing, and here the Guatemalans told us, said, nah, he said, we can still stamp you out of the country. But by the time you get over across no man's land as such, get on the Honduranian side, they're going to be closed. And sure enough, it was. We were about 15 minutes late. So there we were. There was no place to stay, no place to buy food. We were there just there. Sort of in no man's land. There was a gas station there, but that was closed. And it really wasn't, at that point, it really wasn't working because, yeah, the whole border thing was a mess. But they did tell us, you know, you can spread out here under the porch if you want to. And it was hot. It was muggy. There were mosquitoes. And there we were supposed to sleep. So, what do you do? Well, thankfully we had, in the back of our Jeep, we had put a foam mattress. And the children had sort of been sleeping in there. And so we grabbed the foam mattress, put it out on the porch, and my wife and I took turns during the night to keep watch over our children as they slept. Getting towards the morning, it got cool enough to where we just sort of grabbed the mattress. Some of the bigger ones, we got them to sort of stand up. They were sleeping, you know, sort of grabbed the whole mattress, shoved it in the back of the Jeep, and we slept there for the rest of the night. Some on the seats and some on the mattress. The next morning, we're hungry and ready to have some food and like that, but we got through the border. Around 6 o'clock, the border opened again. It's a very emotional story for me. So we were planning, what the original plan had been, was to go to this one church who would actually have been the pilgrim mission there, and we were planning to be there for overnight, so it would have been Friday night. Well, this put us into Saturday morning. And then the next day, we were planning to go over to the place where I was born, in that village. That's where we were planning to be for the weekend. Well, this put us into Saturday. And so it wasn't going to work. So we stayed there for the whole weekend. And that whole weekend was a very interesting weekend. But especially Sunday afternoon we went over to the children's home, and we met someone there. There was this girl, probably about 9 years old, and she was sitting right beside me. And she's had a really, really rough life. In the last few years, the Lord has brought her through some tremendous journeys. But anyway, she was sitting right there beside me, and she said, you know, I could never, because we were talking about the Lord writing our story and about us being open to share our story with other people. And what the Lord can do with our story. Amen. And she just looked at me and she says, I could never allow anyone to write my story and like that. I'll just say she's a lot closer to that. Just a few weeks ago, we were out in Idaho for her wedding. And her story isn't over yet. Still a lot of things. A lot of things that the Lord has brought her through. And I think the Lord will continue to bring her through. Our stories, what are they? And why are we here? Why am I here? Why are you here? There's two questions I especially want to look at this morning. First of all, can I trust God with my story? Number two, can I allow God to write my story? And number three, do I have to be in control of my story? You know, as I think of, can I trust God with my story? I think of Ruth. You know, Ruth's story was a story of heartbreak. You know, she lost her husband. She lost her brother-in-law. She lost her father-in-law. All in a few short years. We don't even know what time period, but it wasn't long. Story of heartbreak, of loss, and then of loneliness. You know, losing her husband, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law. Ended up three destitute women together. How many of you would like to have that kind of a story for yourselves? Heartbreak, loss, loneliness, those are not things that we like. Those are not things that we say, yes, bring it on. I'd like to turn there to Ruth chapter 1. And I trust all of us have know these stories, and I won't elaborate too much on them and give too much background and history on them. And if you haven't read them, you know, do it. Take the time to read these stories in full. Ruth chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse 6. This was after the men were dead. They're talking about Naomi. She said, her Ruth's mother-in-law said, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. And if I should say, I have hope, and if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they are grown? Will ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou goest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You know, that was quite a mouthful. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Nothing but death will separate us. Quite a commitment. Quite a commitment. In allowing God to take her story among the heathen people and change that. And she had no clue what the outcome was going to be. She had none. You know, we looking back from this side, we see, wow, what a nice story. But the decision and the outcome of that story was taken a lot before the end was in view. She had a vision. She had a vision. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Then if we go over to chapter 4, we see the conclusion. And here she had, when she went back, she met Boaz, and he was the one who redeemed her. In chapter 4, verse 13, we'll start reading there. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. And thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. You know, not only did God give her a husband, he gave her a really good one. And he gave her a son. And he inserted her into the lineage of Christ. Amazing. Amazing that he'd take a foreigner and do this to her. God could have done it with someone else. He could have. But he chose her for her willingness and for her decision. I will serve God no matter what it takes. And she was willing for God to take her story and make it whatever he wanted it to be. When she left Moab and her people and her gods, she had no clue what was going to happen to her. She was in fact expecting that she was going to be a widow for the rest of her life. She trusted God with her story. Can I do that with mine? Can I allow God to write my story? Think of Joseph. And we heard a lot about Joseph already this morning. You know, Joseph's story is a story of rejection, slavery, prison. How many of you would like to be like Joseph? You know, we all say, yeah, we'd like to be like Joseph. You know, what he became. But what about the rest of the story? What about all the hard things that he had to go through to get there? Those decisions that he had to make in the middle, in the heat of the battle, and in the middle of all those hard, hard things. And yet he continued to choose what was right. And he continued to choose God's story over his own. And he allowed God to write his story. And there in chapter 45... is an amazing testimony after all he had gone through. Just amazing. Chapter 45, we'll start to read in verse 1. Then Joseph, this was once he was, had already gone through these things. It was 2 years into the famine. His brothers were before him. So then Joseph could not refrain himself before them all that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." It was not you that sent me,
But God, what an amazing testimony. He allowed God to write his story. He allowed him. Jesus said, Lord, go ahead. Even though it wasn't easy. It was hard. And it sort of went from one catastrophe to the next, it seemed like. And yet, those were the things that God used. You know, he had to have him in prison so that he could go to Pharaoh. You know, he had to interpret those dreams there in prison. You know, sometimes the hard things that we are in, we think, why? Why do I have to be in this? Well, maybe this is what God is needing so that he can, years later, do something else. It's amazing. But we've got to allow God to write our story. See, because many times right there is where we buckle. We say, forget it. This is it. I can't take it anymore. I have served God so faithfully all this time, and here I am. There's what he does to me. Can we trust God to write our story like Joseph did? Can we just allow him to just go ahead and do it? Whatever it ends up being, I'm willing. I'm willing. And like I said with Ruth, Joseph didn't say this glibly. After the fact, he didn't just say, oh, yeah, this is just how it was. But it took a lot of living to get to that point. Took a lot of hard knocks and hard living to get to the point where God could use him for this exact purpose. Amazing. Could God have used someone else? He could have. Would God have used someone else? He probably would have. But Joseph was willing and allowed God to write his story. Do I have to be in control of my story? When I think of that, I think of Esther. Esther, the queen. Which of you all wouldn't want to be a queen? But under those conditions? You ever think of the behind the scenes kind of things that the story doesn't tell you? The loneliness, the fear, the being one among many women. It wasn't all so glamorous. And it even came to the point where when the Jews were going to be destroyed, she hadn't been in to see the king for a whole month that she hadn't seen her husband. Quite something. She hadn't seen him in a month. How would you feel? Esther 4, and we'll turn to that. Again, I'm just picking out a little piece of the story here. I trust you all know the story or can go back and read the whole story for yourselves. Esther 4, and we'll start to read in verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arrive to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. For such a time as this. Esther was there, an unlikely Jewish girl. The king didn't even know where she came from. But that was all in part of God's plan too. She was there for that time, for that specific purpose, that she was there. And she was willing. She said, "If I perish, I perish." You know what? Who am I to think my life important if I give my life for this cause? I will. And the other interesting thing that really struck me in this passage, more than I've ever noticed before, is what her uncle told her. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." God is not stuck for people, but he needs willing people. And it's amazing how God limits himself to doing things on this earth. He limits himself to our hands and our feet and to what we are willing to do. And there are certain times when he just says, "You know what? I can't use you. I'm going to use someone else." But God's plan and God's purpose does continue. The children of Israel had those promises, and they were promised the deliverance. They were promised that posterity. They were promised that it was going to continue, and they were going back to their homeland. That was a promise. And Esther wouldn't have necessarily had to be a part of that story. But she was willing to be that. And God used her because of her willingness. trusting, and versus control has been one of probably the hardest things that I've had to learn. And I wish I could say that I already learned it. But it's one of those things that continues to be a part of my life and things I need to learn. You know, I wish, and you've probably, the majority of you at least, have probably heard about my favorite Bible verse. And I've preached very specifically about that here. And I wish that that would just be, you know, something that, you know, I learned it already. But it, unfortunately, it's something I have to relearn. I have to continue allowing God to write my story. You know, I'd like to control my story. I'd like to direct this thing the way I want it to be or the way I think it should be. And if you think across the story of Ruth and of Joseph and of Esther, if they would have had their say as to where this story goes, do you think they would have faced the things they did? The things in life that you have faced, would you want those things? The things you're going through currently, would you want those things? Would you truly say, wow, this is what I really, 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 really want? You know, those hard things. Probably not. And yet it's interesting that always when we look back and we see God's hand there leading us, it's amazing. It's amazing the story that God can write as we allow Him and we trust Him for the outcome. And as always, you know, I'd rather trust God for tomorrow's bread. So, you know, ask Him for tomorrow's bread today so that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. And the problems of tomorrow, I'd rather have them solved today so I don't have to worry about those things. But that's not what God calls us to. God calls us very specifically to trust Him today for today's things. Because as I've said many times, you know, tomorrow is an illusion. Tomorrow will never arrive. And yet we worry so much about tomorrow. And so many people live in this thing that they worry about tomorrow so much that they forget to live today. And then, when the next day becomes today, they look back and with regret, I wish I would have done differently. And so they live in this constant thing of regret and worry. And worry and regret. When God calls us to live today and allow God to write my story today and allow Him to say what happens today and trust Him for it. And if you think tomorrow is an illusion, just recently, I heard of this sign that has been at this store for years. And it says, free candy tomorrow. And there's been some very excited children that come in and read that thing, and they come tomorrow. Well, it's the very same thing. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. And yet we live with that illusion of tomorrow and tomorrow, and we forget about today. If we forget to trust God for what we're going through today. And we know the outcomes. You know, we know all about the ulcers. We know all about the blood chemistry change. We know all about the high blood pressure. You know, those things are stuff that we all know. It's been scientifically proven. If you worry about tomorrow, and yet we continue doing those things. We continue worrying. We continue doing it. Instead of trusting God with our story. So a big question is for all of us, do I trust God with my story? Can I? Can I trust Him to write it? The thing I'm grappling with right now is, can I allow God? Can I do that? The story of the coffee and the borders and the mosquitoes has another piece to it. And I am still not sure what it means. And I am still not sure what God wants me to do about it. But the morning that we left the border, we drove toward one of the nearest places to find some food, and we come into this city. And as we're coming to this city, there was something about this city that struck me really, really strong. And I thought, wow, and why? We had, at that point, we had just started another city mission. And it was, I felt something so strong and so vivid about this city. It's like, why? Why do I feel that way about this city? And I left it at that. And I've continued to leave it at that. But I've always wondered, what about that city? It's a big city. It has, in various years, it has been on Guinness World Book of Records as the murder capital of the world. It's that kind of a city. A few weeks ago, someone who absolutely knew nothing about this, has never heard this story, asked me, said, would you consider starting a work in that city? What could I tell him? I don't know. I don't know. First of all, I'm not free to do that right now. But I'm wondering, you know, what does God want? What is God saying? And as I look at that city, and what's interesting, not only is that one of the most murder-prone cities in the world, the very section where they need a church is the worst part of that city. So it tells you something. What do we do about it? I don't know. But God does. And that's where I want to leave it. And I want each of us to consider, what are we going to do about God's call And what are we going to do with what God is calling me to do today? And am I willing to allow God to write my story, even though it doesn't go the way I would want to? Even though it's not easy. But God has a story for each one of us. And He wants to write it if we allow Him to. God can bring deliverance to the Jews through other people, if you want to say it that way. God can do His work through other people. But if God is calling you to something specific, if God is calling you to live out His plan, and He is, the reality is that if you are here and you're alive today, God has a purpose and a plan for you and for your life. It might not be apparent, but there's a reason you're here. There's a reason for God's calling on your life. For those of us who are able, let's kneel in prayer. Father, again this morning, we thank You for Your calling upon our lives. And Lord, we thank You that You have a story for each one of us. And Lord, we know that it's a good story. We know that You have a good plan, even though it's not easy. But You have what is best for each one of us. And we thank You, Father. And we praise You for knowing our future and for understanding what You are doing in our lives and what You will continue to do in our lives. And we want to trust You. We want to put our hands confidently in Yours and allow You to take control of our lives and live today as if it were our last, and live today recognizing that You have a purpose and a plan for us today. Thank You, Father. Thank You in the name of Jesus.